And we are recording. And I'm delighted to have Harry Noel Smith with us today, who's the founder of Kinetic Kitchen. Welcome, Harry.
Good afternoon, Ali. How are you doing?
Yes, keeping well, thanks. Living la vida low carb, as Jimmy Moore likes to say. Always like that. I steal it all the time. I can't remember where I first became aware of you. It's sometime last year, and I became aware that there was donuts, which are not donuts, floating around the internet, also known as keto nuts. And then I think we might have met for the first time on Clubhouse.
It was. Yeah, it was Clubhouse. That's where I first came aware of you.
Okay. So can you just tell us the whole thing? Talk about your journey that led you to Kinetic Kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we need to rewind quite far back to 2014. So my dad came to me and my brother and decided that he wanted to go on this crazy adventure, this crazy challenge. And back then, he wanted us to break the Trans-Canadian World Record. So we were meant to cycle from Halifax to Vancouver in 12 days was the world record. I thought he was absolutely bonkers, but this is a bloke that he's an ex-military man. He's rode the Indian Ocean. He's done some big challenges in his life. So I thought, you know, if there's one person that can drag us through this, it's probably going to be my dad. And we had a excellent coach behind us, a guy called Bill Black. He's a ex-Olympic triathlon coach, and he knows my dad from training him up for the Indian Ocean. So we had, you know, the elements to be a potentially a world record breaking team. The only problem is we'd never cycled in our life. So we hadn't cycled further than, you know, 2 miles. We didn't even own ourselves a road bike. But we decided to take the challenge on in November and, you know, gave ourselves just over 8 months to train for this event. During this training, we were very heavily reliant on refined carbs. This is something that I don't know why we decided to go down this route, because both me and my brother are ex-sport and exercise scientists. We decided that living off donuts is what everyone else sees them as, not keto nuts, and, you know, chocolate bars and the rest of it would be the way to our success. It would be our route to our success. And clearly, no matter how hard you do your training, you're going to have issues if that's what your diet is. We found that out probably about three or four months in. And we weren't hitting these goals that Bill Black was setting us. So we went back to the drawing board. Me and my brother put our minds together and said, you know, what is the weak link here? It's not one of us. It's clearly our diet. So we experimented with a few different things, and we found this. There was a keto cyclist at the time that was an advocate for ultra endurance diets, not the shorter stuff. So we took sugar completely out of our diet. We took gluten completely out of our diet. We still kept a small amount of carbs in, but we predominantly saw fat as our fuel. And that's when we started seeing these exponential results. And it was fascinating. We literally went from very mediocre cyclists to, we were ranked in the top three ultra endurance cyclists in the world, just before our challenge. It was crazy. We could do, you know, 250. That was our training, max in a day, 250 miles, and it would be a breeze. And just consider that, you know, that's 16 hours on the bike, and we'd wake up the following day and do exactly the same. And it wouldn't be an issue to us. So we were like, okay, this is kind of the dream diet for us. And, you know, fast forward to the actual game day as such. Unfortunately, our sponsor, our main financial sponsor, pulled out 2 weeks beforehand. So we lost all finance to take the bikes, the crew, support vehicles across to Canada. So that was obviously a massive burden. So what's the next cheapest thing? Why don't we cycle from London to Africa and back and basically do the same distance same time, but it won't be a world record because this route was a complete new route. And the reason why we went to Africa is the money that we're raising for charity there, most of their work was done in Tangiers in Morocco. So we did the event and we completed it. We were doing averaging 285 miles per day. And then we finished on a 310 mile ride, which if you try and consider that in a car, that's a long drive in the car and you're doing, you know, 70, 80 miles per hour average in the car. And we were just, well, that last day, it was 26 hours of constant cycling. So just mentally, physically, very draining. But I truly, truly believe that, you know, fat was a real predominant, you know, benefit to us getting through those long days and ensuring we had enough calories inside of our body. You know, we were burning, you know, 7,000-8,000 calories in a day. So you quite simply cannot get that from carbs. You've got to get it from fats. And that's where basically it was during this whole journey then I found that my favorite snack was taken away from me. My favorite snack was obviously the donut at the time. And I thought, how can I bring this back into my life during this, you know, during the training leading up to the event? So I looked at the ingredients that we were feeding ourselves and it was obviously a lot of oils. It was lots of nuts. And that's where I kind of came around with the ketona. It's a very different looking thing to what it is nowadays. It was very ugly. It was raw. It was messy. But that was where like the light bulb moment happened for me and Kinetic Kitchen. Anyway, obviously 2014 is a long time away, a long time ago. So it took me, a few years to stew, as most entrepreneurs do, just to imagine how it would be to run your own business, but also how could you bring this potential product to the market. So fast forward to 2019, I decided I was going to have a coffee truck, which is Lucy the Landy, is what we've got at the moment, which is a converted Land Rover Defender, a classic Land Rover Defender. And I was going to sell these ketonuts out of there. Anyway, over that period from late summer up until the beautiful moment of March 2020, the business was slowly growing. It was just me doing it as a kind of side hustle. I was doing a few bits of sales during the time. And then obviously 23rd of March, 2020, the pandemic hit. I had to close the coffee truck. The other places that I was selling the ketonuts were my stockists. They all closed as well. So I was kind of backed into that really dark corner where I had no more revenue coming into Kinetic Kitchen. So it was kind of toying with, you know, you've got two routes here. You liquidate and you just completely finish with your idea that you've been stewing on for years. Or do you just completely pivot, which is, you know, it's a very common word that we now hear, you know, 2020 and 2021, you hear so many companies pivoting. But that's exactly what we did. I stopped all of my focus on retail and the coffee truck and focused entirely on e-commerce. And that's when I went full time. I started initially, I was baking from home and then we moved into the unit that I'm currently talking to you in, which is like a 2000 square foot unit just south Bristol. The team's just been slowly growing since. So we've got five team members at the moment, including myself, some excellent bakers. We've got a really good social media person who's great with the barista side of things as well. So we've got the coffee truck back up and running. But we've also got a very specialist, we call him the research and development specialist. So he's Mike Bache. He's England and Bath rugby chef. So he's got a vast amount of experience in performance foods. So he kind of considers what could be the next potential big thing for Kinetic Kitchen. More recently, it's been the nut butter. So we now have a range of different nut butters, which is slowly starting to grow in retail as well. So that's, dare I say it in a nutshell, about Kinetic Kitchen. there's so many other elements that we could dip and dive into. You know, sustainability, as you well know, Ali, is a very big, that's a big part of Kinetic Kitchen. And that's just me from growing up as a kid, you know, loving the beach, being in the water, surfing loads and eating organically, you know, always my mum just making sure I'm recycling anything, reducing any waste that we have in the house whilst growing up, has led me down this very, very tight, narrow road of making sure the company is so, so sustainable, as sustainable as it can be at the current climate. But yeah, I think that's a very long-winded way to introduce Kinetic Kitchen.
Such a great story. I mean, first of all, amazing chutzpah to having from having never cycled to deciding you're going to break a world record and then really training to hit the pace to actually do it. That's brilliant. Or it's such a shame that your sponsor pulled out.
Yeah. It was actually a really, that was one of the hardest moments I've had in my life, like getting that call and for us to all sit around the table and just be like, guys, we've been training for 8 months solidly. This is through my dissertation for university as well. So trying to like juggle all of that and we're not going to be able to do it. And this was when we didn't have a solution to what plan B would have looked like. And it was just so deflating. You know, you work yourself up to this one moment and, you know, that sounds very first world problems because all it is just a challenge at the end of the day. But we just felt like we were letting ourselves down. But, you know, the charity would raise so much money for the charity. We had so many sponsors. We had like Specialized, who'd like sponsored all our bikes and everything and all our gear. And we're just like, we're going to let so many people down if we don't do something. So it was definitely a drawing board sort of scenario and just looking at the map and thinking, you know, sizing up between your fingers, that seems like the size of Canada and comparing it to somewhere in Europe as well. And then the logistics of trying to work out a route going from London down into Tangiers within the 2 weeks was, yeah, it was pretty full on. But we just, you know, it was one of those things we had to do something. There's no doubt in our minds. We actually did a challenge 2 years previously, which didn't make as much headlines because it wasn't as far. But it's certainly in our blood, in our family blood. We did a... We took an ocean rowing boat from Mont Saint Michel to Saint Michael's Mount, so about 250 miles across the English Channel, and that was first year university. So I was 19 then, but that was kind of like our warm up. I feel it was like warming us up into these like challenges where you only get 2 or 3 hours of sleep every single night, and it's very continuous. So I'd certainly say it's our blood, and I definitely think that the whole Canada challenge is not completely off the cards. You know, we want to do that certainly with the family, me, my brother, and my dad. It's just trying to find the right time. I don't think my staff would be too happy with me if I just left them for, you know, a month or so.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. And did you know much about running on fat before that?
It was a completely new, you know, the word keto, we didn't even call it keto at the time. And because both me and my brother were mainstream educated, as you do, you know, all we're told about is making sure that we're reducing our fat and we are relying on carbs. We're also both ex-rugby players, so we basically saw as we've got to eat meat and potatoes every day, meat and potatoes. So the thought of completely switching that over was completely backwards. And that's why I mentioned it was a trial. Like we saw that it could be done, but we were not convinced that it could be. And it was only when we started, you know, it did take us, you know, probably 3, 4, 5 weeks to become fat adapted. So it was a bit of a struggle initially. But after then it was just, yeah, like I said, the results were just exponential. We just weren't getting tired. Like our bodies could just keep going. It was just, we couldn't understand it. And then the fatigue as well. So like a post training fatigue. So we cycle all day and then the following day would be fine just to wake up and carry on cycling. Whereas before, you'd have all this information, you'd feel so knackered and tired, and your body would just be in bits if when we were reliant on like refined carbs. It was really, really quite an experience. And as we were briefly saying before the podcast, it's something that I carried on straight after the challenge, because I started training for an Ironman. And it was, again, very beneficial. The training for the Ironman was very short-lived because I just found it boring, quite frankly. I could cycle, you know, for miles. I could run for miles. Swimming by myself, I just found it really, really boring. I enjoyed training with my dad and my brother because you just get that camaraderie. You can chat to them, and it's, you know, the day just cruises through. But as soon as you start training by yourself, it's just a bit boring. So after I stopped with the Ironman stuff, I just went to low carb. And then I've just kind of fluctuated between low carb and keto. And yeah, as I mentioned to you before the podcast, I'm currently training for this triathlon, in which case I'm actually starting to increase my carbs. The triathlon that I'm doing is a sprint. So it should only take me, you know, 55 minutes, maybe, you know, up to an hour. So my body is functioning a lot better when I'm doing these sprints. You know, my exercise only lasts 20 to 30 minutes at the moment, compared to obviously back in the heyday, it was 12 hours to 18 hours in a day. So ultra is very different. The way that I see food between a sprint and ultra is incredibly different.
Well, this is something that I picked up with Nick Gill, the All Blacks strength and conditioning coach, and with Tim Noakes. And they both kind of obviously worked with high performance athletes who need to be able to get that top gear to access it, whatever that is for the individual. And you can see that people like Owen Franks for the All Blacks went totally carnivore. So he's just meat and fat. Mm. Whereas David Pocock, one of the world's best rugby players, would eat keto, but the night before a match, he might have a couple of 100 grams of sweet potato or something, because he found that on the match day, if he wanted that explosiveness, if he wanted that top gear that he's got as a top athlete, he needed that. And it seems to vary between individuals, regardless of potentially how long they've been training like that, or even with the explosiveness required, because if, you know, Franks, who's a world-class prop, can get that explosivity just on meat and fat. So it's really fascinating. And I think it's why I don't like to be too dogmatic. It's one of the reasons I chose the name Paleo Canteen for the business, is because it's a broad church. And I think the logic of paleo really is that we should just be mindful of what our ancestors evolved on, and that we should maybe be slightly more suspicious of novel foods. Doesn't mean that we have to cut them all out, but that could include all sorts of carbs and keto and carnivore. So it's interesting to hear that you find for that kind of sprint triathlon that it's good to get some carbs in there. But you also mentioned beforehand that you keep gluten out of the equation. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, for a number of reasons, really. It's, again, it's personal preference. If I have gluten in my diet, I'll start getting hives like all over my fingers. I'll be itchy all over. I'll bloat. And these are the things that, you know, growing up, I just ignored. I just thought, you know, that's how everyone is. You know, you look at a rugby player and they're just a bit bloated. And I was thinking, yeah, maybe that's kind of me. But the older I got, the more I became a little bit more in tune with my body and started to realize that gluten just doesn't react the same way as it does to me than another person. I'm far cry away from saying that I'm gluten intolerant. I can tolerate gluten. It's absolutely fine, but I certainly find that my body just performs so much better without it, you know. Like at the moment, I've got gluten-free oats as my morning snack, and I could go down just the normal oats like market, but because of the way that the farming happens, you know about this, right? So the way that they farm oats is normally next to wheat or something, and that's why there's normally a cross-contamination between the two. Whereas unless you farm it completely separate, then you can say that it's like a gluten-free oat. And I can notice the difference to say, even with traces of this normal oats compared to the gluten-free oats, yeah, it's a very big difference. But yeah, it's that, and obviously refined sugars, they just don't go well with me at all, both physically and mentally. Like mentally, I really do feel it. I feel like hungover, I feel anxious, which is just so bizarre. Again, growing up as a kid, I wasn't force-fed sweets or anything, but I certainly had sugars in my diet. And you just don't notice it. Yeah, I mean, you just probably feel a bit wired as a kid, and then you have the, what everyone calls it, like the sugar crash. But as you get older, you're like, why do I need to have that? Like, you start to question yourself, don't you? It's just like, you get a nice sweet hit for about 5 minutes, and then you just, well, me personally, you just feel awful afterwards. And I think probably the more you take out the diet, the more sensitive you do become to it as well. So yeah, whenever I do, even like, Christ, I had a had orange, like freshly squeezed orange juice the other day, and I drank it, and I genuinely like thought I had a hangover. Within like 2 hours, I felt like I was hungover, which is, it's bizarre, isn't it? It's really bizarre. It just shows how sensitive you can become.
Yeah, and I think most people walk around where, you know, in the habits, is particularly around eating, leaves these signals that you get, negative signals physically and mentally, totally lost in the noise.
Yeah.
Which is why I always recommend an elimination diet, very strict elimination diet for people, even if they don't intend to stay on it forever. Because if you cut out the major things, you know, dairy, gluten, sugar, sometimes, you know, certainly veg oils should count in there too. And sometimes just carbs in general for people, then you get this baseline and you can see these signals much more clearly, which is very difficult. Normally, if you are the experiment and the experimenter, then you're sort of trying to observe yourself whilst you're going through something which makes you a worse observer. You kind of disappear into a little loop. And just like you, regular listeners know that I struggled with that and thought that was just something, that was just life, you know. And I think people confuse what's available with what's possible. And it's brilliant to see, you know, you quit donuts to train for a charity bike ride based on knowledge that it might be easier to hit those goals by eating in this strange way. And you decided that you could create a company to fill the donut shaped hole in your life. It's fantastic. Because you weren't confusing what was available with what was possible.
I mean, definitely when I first launched it back in 2019, still the keto name was only just dripping into mainstream. So I was looking at these products and thinking, you know, this satisfies my donut hole, but is it going to satisfy other people's? You know, are there other people in the same position as me? And e-commerce helps you just this whole exposure and access to so many other people. And that's why like the business was just gently increasing before the pandemic, because all I was doing was accessing a small amount of people in Bristol who are probably just celiac or just a diabetic, you know, the smaller segmentations to Kinetic Kitchen. And then as soon as I did release it to everyone else, then you're suddenly like, well, I actually am, you know, helping a lot of people who were in the same position as me, whether it's like elite performance in sport, or whether it is autoimmune disease, or whether it is strict keto, like weight loss stuff. Is it, you know, like I said, diabetes, celiacs, you know, it's, yeah, it's nice to know that other people were like, I'm helping them go through their own like challenges and struggles as well.
Yeah. So like, what else has helped you? You know, obviously you make nut butters and keto nuts that when you eat them, you feel good, as opposed to getting a rush and then like a hangover and anxiety. So what else has kind of enabled you to live sustainably doing low carb and keto?
Most of my food comes in from like local farms. So I eat an awful lot of, well, all of my produce is fresh produce. I barely, even if it is keto as such, I barely eat refined foods. So, I mean, that, for me, there isn't a huge amount of difference the way that I eat compared to previously, other than removing certain elements to my plate. So I have never really found it that difficult, because I haven't come from an ultra processed diet to suddenly very strict keto, you know. So, you know, eating very fresh fruit and veg, well, mainly veg from the local farms. And then we've got, you know, Everfield's organic meat box that comes in like every 2 weeks or so. To me, that, and then we've got a local cheese lady that's literally in one of the other units next to us. So this is all really fresh local produce. And what's not to love about that? Like, I genuinely feel that I'm not missing out on anything at all. Because, okay, yeah, like normally it's the ultra processed stuff that people crave. People miss out on these particular diets. But then you've got the likes of yourself that make amazing chocolate that you can just, you know, snack on at any time. I am a snack-based company. So if I feel like I need to have like a sweet hit, then I can just have, you know, a ketona. But we're also obviously just touching into the savory market as well. So we've got these savory buns. So if I want a burger, for example, which would stereotypically people would assume that is awfully unhealthy, we've got this beautiful, you know, bun that's just made with almond flour and a bit of mozzarella. Like it's incredible. So I don't actually feel that with the way that I eat is I feel like I'm missing out. So I feel like I'm constantly on top of the game. The thing that I do sometimes struggle with is wine. So like keeping alcohol low is I find really, really difficult. You know, I love my wine. I love my red wine, and I love, you know, drinking really high quality stuff. But it's just making sure that it's, you stick to like one glass or something. I know a lot of people on keto would just be like, you know, slap your wrist, you should never drink alcohol. And rightly so. I mean, you look at the likes of, you know, Pauline from Sarah and Arrow, she's completely teetotal and she does incredibly from that. So I'd love to be able to go down that, but that is my like guilty pleasure. And I don't feel guilty about it. Like, you know, for me, it's like a little sociable thing. Like, if I want to have a glass with my mates, then rightly so, as long as I'm not, you know, smashing back loads of, you know, beers or ciders or the rest of it, you know, nice glass of organic wine. And you're looking like you judge me here, Ali.
That's all in your head. I'm not at all dogmatic, or I don't think there should be any kind of purity laws around these sorts of things. Yeah. I think everyone's got to work out how to live their life. And, you know, when anyone asks me my advice, which has happened before, by the way, I say, first of all, it has to be something that you enjoy. Yeah. There's no point in doing things that you don't enjoy. You can definitely find things that are both healthy for you, that allow you to hit those health goals, and that you really enjoy. And I think, you know, nobody asked, but my personal opinion on alcohol is that it's not a health food, obviously, but it has healthful qualities. You know, allows you to relax and, you know, loosen up with mates. And there's definitely some sort of signal around longevity and alcohol. And it might be that there's something in the fact that it's a very sociable thing.
Yeah, that's my opinion on it. I don't necessarily go buy down the whole antioxidant route. I think it's much more, to me, it's just being able to be in that environment where, you know, you're passing a glass of wine around and you're having a good time. Your cortisone levels are relaxed and it's just, you're chill, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, I don't know, I sometimes feel lucky that I've got kind of the kind of problems that rear their heads very quickly if I eat certain things. So, you know, I've got stomach and other sort of problems, mental health problems that appear if I have sugar. So I just don't bother because it's not worth it. Alcohol over the years has kind of, fortunately stroke unfortunately, eroded into that sphere. So I'll occasionally have some alcohol if I'm celebrating or if I just want to wind down. But this is once in a blue moon now. Mm. And this is coming from a guy who's from the west coast of Scotland. Who sort of, you're born expected to tank.
That's how you're baptized, isn't it?
10 pints, exactly. Yeah, it is holy water here. So it's a funny one. And I guess like marrying the enjoyment of life and the goals for your health is something that takes people their whole lives. It never really stops. Mm. So we're doing a collaboration. We should talk about that.
We are. Very exciting.
Yeah, for people watching, if this ever goes out on video, you've got a box of our exclusive creation. And you can maybe describe it for the listeners.
Again, I wish, like for the listeners, I wish you could see these, but also for the watchers, I wish you could smell these because it is just so full of chocolate. Obviously, we're using Scoundrel chocolate and it's just been such an exciting collaboration. Essentially, what we're calling it is Triple Choc. You know, it's very different to the rest of our ketone range. You know, we've got a chocolate orange, but there's a lot of orange being pushed through there, where this is just heavy on the chocolate. And the thing that I've always said to you, Ali, is your chocolate is great. You know, your chocolate is actually really, really good chocolate. You know, compared to what we make, it's on a whole different tier. So to be able to use this and for it to be able to, it's so easily workable when we're making these donuts. And what I mean by that is if we were to infuse our chocolate inside of, you know, the base of these ketonuts, it would probably just kind of melt into the actual batter itself. But yours is just so stable as a product that the base of it is like a chocolate chip cookie. So when you're biting into it, you do still get chunks of chocolate inside of the base. Then on top, you've got this incredible glaze, like a chocolate glaze. And if that was not enough, you've got a chocolate crumb on top as well. I find it really difficult talking about these, looking at them and smelling them, because I know that I still need to photograph these in order to make sure that they are good for the website. But it's so exciting for us. Like I said, it's very different to any of the other donuts that we've made before. And if anyone's a chocolate lover, this is going to sell so, so well, and people are going to love this. They truly are. And it's great to be able to work with you with this, rather than like, you know, we take pride that we make everything in-house because we get that flexibility and we can make a product within a couple of days. And to be able to work with you, it wasn't a case of you give us the chocolate, we'll make it. This was a proper collaboration, wasn't it? You know, I sent you, initially I asked you, you know, how do you want it to look? You sent me a few designs. We then sent you back some actual chocolate, like some pictures of the chocolate donuts back to you. You selected a few different designs. Then we sent some samples across to you, didn't you? And as soon as we got the, you know, the nod from you, we knew that this was going to be a good product. So yeah, no, it's very exciting. We've got two sets of audiences, which I'm convinced are going to love this. I know Kinetic Kitchen customers really, really well now, and I actually think that people are going to be quite annoyed that this is a limited edition flavor. You know, what's your thoughts on it? You know, talk us through your flavor notes. If you can remember, it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, well, first of all, I tried your ketonuts and loved them. And this was the, like, the mixed box. And I think the mixed dairy-free, probably the mixed dairy-free box.
Yeah.
Because I'm generally dairy-free. And I was amazed. You've really made something which is the zenith of, I think, anyone in our game, which is to make something which is a true one-to-one replacement, but allowing people to hit their health goals. Yeah. So that's what I've tried to do with the chocolate. It's what I've tried to do with the ice cream. And you've definitely done it with the ketonuts. And it's amazing, really, because there's so much that sugar does in ice cream. There's so much that sugar does for chocolate that it's quite difficult to get that right. But flour is a different beast. Like, I just don't think there is any good keto bread, because gluten is vital to the texture and structure of the thing. But you've cracked it. So I was amazed first off the bat by that. And I was so excited to try the chocolate one that you made. And when it came through, they did not last long. I tried to be objective and a bit slow about it to form a more considered opinion, but really they just disappeared. I love what you're talking about. There's like a chocolate chip base and the glaze is great, and then there's like chunks of chocolate on the top. I'm kind of wondering why it's just going to be a limited edition now. But that's a conversation for another day. It's great, and I think people are going to love it.
I think you're right there with, like, the initial reaction of trying to be able to criticize the product was difficult. We do this on a daily basis, and this is the culture that I try and breed in Kinetic Kitchen, where nothing is ever perfect. You always have to criticize something to make it better. And that's what we do. We normally go through rounds of, like, new product development. The team will bring me, like, a new flavor, and I'll be like, it needs that, it needs that, it needs that. This, we did it first time and nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. And it's normally like a 5-minute, 10-minute discussion between the team and be like, what do you reckon we could do here? Is the texture right? You know, asking loads of questions. All of us picked this up, ate it, and was like, we do not need to change this at all. And I was like, I need to send this to Ali immediately and get the go ahead, and let's get this product on the go.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It kind of leads me to think about a question that comes up a lot, which is, can treats be healthy? You know, when I started keto, it was partly to do with my weight and getting that under control, and partly because I suspected that it might help with background health problems that I'd had since I was a kid. Turns out, for a lot of people, the weight was just a bonus for me, that I've been able to hold the same weight for the last 5 years, which was kind of unheard of for the 10 years prior. And that it was the disappearance of the health problems, which was so amazing. And now when I switched to keto, I had probably a pint of double cream ice cream made with sweetener and 6 egg yolks pretty much every day. And that was a big source of my fat and micronutrients from the egg yolks. And I was like, I'm chugging all this, losing weight, feeling physically and mentally on top of the world. It was a bit like when you were talking about, you know, doing the keto for the cycle, the charity cycle. You know, you were being results led, and I was sort of wondering, you know, when's my heart going to explode? But, you know, I'd read the science and I understood that actually that's not how it works, and we've been sold a bill of goods in terms of intaking fats and the dangers and or not involved. But this question comes up all the time: can treats be healthy? And for me, that kind of ice cream was like a bridge away from the worst foods. It enabled me to live this way in a way that if I didn't have that, I'm not sure I would have adjusted as well. But I still eat a lot of the chocolate that I make, you know. I occasionally have the ice cream. I don't eat much dairy. What do you think about that question?
Yeah, it's very interesting. And, you know, there's certain elements of Kinetic Kitchen I'm not going to reveal too much, because it's very much, you know, future pipeline. We're always going to do ketonuts because, you know, it's our core product. But seeing like the elements of the savory donut come out, I'd like to really start looking at other avenues of being able to slightly start to nurture some stuff, some non-sweetened products. I think there's always going to be, you know, sweet things like snacks like this, are always going to have a play in my life and for a lot of people. And these products, like you said, are worlds apart compared to what you can normally get on the market for a tenth of the price, for example. And yes, they are going to do you so much better for every element of your body. And this is the culture that I was telling you about just a minute ago. Is it the perfect thing in the world? No, it's not. But we are going to get there. I think there is other recipes that we will be venturing down, which kind of takes away some elements of the sweetness of it won't be called the ketoner, but it'll be a variation of that. Because I do understand that there is a lot of people on this, especially in the keto world. There's like the keto transitioners, which are the people that have come going into keto, and they're really not sensitive to sugar at all. And they need sweet stuff. They need to be helped on this journey that they're going on to, because as we mentioned earlier, there are certain elements to the keto diet where you can't have these refined snacks. And that's where we come in. You know, that's where both of our companies come in and help people on this journey. But there's also the other people at the other end of the spectrum, on the keto spectrum, where they just want to stay away from sugar. They want to stay away from snacks. They want to stay away from all of that because they've been there. They've done that. They're really, really sensitive to it, and they just don't need it in their lives. They don't need that trigger in their head to say that I need this sugar. So I respect that. I don't think that's going to be the full population. And I don't think that's going to be the full population of the keto market, for example. So I think being able to have lots of different options for different people amongst this segmentation is something that we're not gonna ignore at all. It's interesting because also these sweeteners, they're so new to this world as well. You know, we both use erythritol, you use stevia as well, don't you, in your products? Yeah.
In the ice cream,
yeah. You know, they've been around for quite some time, but more mainstream only over the last, you know, 5 years or so. I want to make sure that this, you know, whatever products that we're making is going to be bulletproof in 50 years time. I'm constantly reading up. I'm constantly doing my research around these sort of things and making sure that, you know, they're all FDA approved and as safe and natural and as organic as they possibly can be. But likewise, yeah, sweeteners, there's definitely going to be a range of products where we won't be using sweeteners, and they won't be considered as like unhealthy healthy snacks, you know.
That's very interesting.
It's such a minefield, isn't it? Because, you know, we're both in the confectionery world, and people come to us because of this uniqueness, because they are sweet, but they're not deviating themselves away from their goals. But there is also, particularly that I find with my set of customers, there are ones that say, look, can you make one without sweetener? Can you do this and sweeten it in a different way? Can you do it like this? You can do it like that. And these voices, if there's more than one, you can't ignore them. You've got to listen and you've got to consider it, because these are guys that are keeping your business afloat at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very intrigued to see what innovators like yourself have up their sleeves for the next few years. I think it'll be a very interesting time with the food landscape, how it is. You know, if you look at the Google search trends in America, comparing keto and vegan, not to pit them against each other ideologically, just in terms of popularity, keto overtook vegan as a search term in January 2018 in America, and it's stayed on top since. And it's moving that way in the UK. I think whereas veganism tends to come from a background of ideology around a, you know, welfare and sustainability, whether that's true or not, and we've talked about that a lot on the podcast. I don't want to go down that road just now, but it's a bit of a Pandora's box. I don't want to say can of worms, but certainly keto is more of a practical thing. I think, you know, a lot of people who do it are 50 or 60 and are really scared because they've just been told that they have diabetes, or that they might lose their foot in 5 years, or that they, you know, they might not be around for the grandkids, that kind of thing. And that is an incredible motivator to change, especially when the word's getting out that there's this option of eating bacon, eggs, steak, which actually can result in really good health. And you can't really put that genie back in the bottle. You know, there might be slings and arrows in terms of exactly how you should formulate the keto diet, but it definitely works. And so it's a very exciting time in the UK for it. You know, I think about a third of my listeners are in America, a third are in the UK, and a third are around the rest of the world. And different places are at different stages with this. America's probably furthest ahead, but you get smaller places like, you know, Denmark, some of the stuff in the supermarkets labeled keto already, and maybe UK is quite slow on the uptake. But it's a very exciting time. I can't wait to see what you've got up your sleeve there. I'm sort of gently probing to see if you'll reveal any more, but I'm just gonna, if you want.
No. This is a great thing about, you know, this collaboration, for example. No one knows about it until this is released. So, no, my lips are sealed.
Good
Not
man.
For long, actually, because I'm going to be taking pictures of these eating the donuts.
Brilliant. Well, it's been brilliant chatting to you, and as always, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, hearing the reaction of people who buy the limited edition triple chocolate ketonut, and to seeing what comes next for Kinetic Kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Ali, it's been an absolute pleasure, you know, being on today, but also working together, you know, ever since we met just a few months ago, being able to work on a project like this is genuinely really exciting. And like I've said numerous times before, it's this product is actually, it's a tier above what we've created here. So I genuinely believe that the, you know, the customers that do try this are going to be outstandingly impressed. So yeah, it's been a pleasure.
And where can people find you online?
So the best place to, you know, find me, I'm a very secretive person, but the best place to find Kinetic Kitchen is at The Kinetic Kitchen on Facebook and on Instagram. And then on Twitter, we are at underscore Kinetic Kitchen. And then obviously the website, that's the main place you want to go and look at our products and, you know, see what we're all about. And that's kinetickitchen.co.uk, which I'm hoping you'll probably share somewhere along the route. More particularly for when this is released, you'll see this all over our social media and, you know, website page as well.
Superb. Well, appreciate your time. Thanks again, and I'll speak to you soon.
Nice one, Ali. Thank you.